The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Mark Henry, Bully Ray, and I talk about, you have to say, one of, if not the greatest tag team in WWE history, the Usos. Our very own Bully Ray, who's the most decorated tag team wrestler of all time, gives his thoughts on just that. Also, Mark gives some good insight, as well as Bully, on what's happening with the SmackDown Women's Championship. It's now going to be Shotzi against Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series. Is that the right matchup? And could they have done a better story leading in? We get into all of that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Mark and Bully, you know, Bully, you said it in the last segment about the differences right now between SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. Both you and Mark, very opinionated about the brand split. And maybe it's time to get rid of this brand split. Mark also reminded us, we need Sasha back. We need Naomi back. We need Becky back. We need Charlotte back. And I think the biggest thing when you look at this past Friday show, again, I thought SmackDown was very, very good. But now you have a six-pack challenge to see who's going to face Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, one of the big four pay-per-views for the WWE. And no disrespect to any of these women that were in the ring on Friday night, but you have Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Sonya Deville, Lacey Evans, Xia Li, and Shotzi Blackheart. Not exactly main event wrestlers involved in that match. And they're facing Ronda Rousey. And then, you know, Liv Morgan had her opportunity. She had her chances. I think we're past that. Xia Li has never really, to me, gained any ground as part of the main roster. Lacey Evans, her character keeps fluctuating, keeps changing. Plus, there's been a lot of times where she hasn't been on TV at all. Sonya Deville, kind of the same thing. Raquel Rodriguez, I think she started off really hot when she came to the main roster. I think she hasn't really gotten any fair ground over the last month or two on SmackDown. And then Shotzi Blackheart, who I actually thought might be moving to NXT to not only help the NXT, but to help Shotzi. And now Shotzi is going to be facing Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series. Mark, let me ask you first. Is that a match on paper that excites you at all?
Not at all. The only thing that I could see, Dave, that would make sense is if there was interference from if there was interference from Shayna Baszler, and Shayna Baszler was trying to help Ronda, but hurts Ronda, and they get into it a little bit, but it ended up Ronda, you know, doing what Ronda needs to do and should do. But the story shouldn't just be about them two. I don't think there's enough of a issue between them, one, and two, I don't think that she's just at Ronda's level, just like you were just saying. The four or five women that actually should be involved, they're not even there right now.
I'm a little confused though, Mark. I'm a little confused. You said that Shayna should have gotten involved for Ronda. Where?
No, I said the only way that I can see a really good match that makes any sense is if Shotzi Blackheart and Ronda are having a match, and Shayna wants to help Ronda out, but ends up hurting Ronda.
Gotcha.
Like, you got to put some bells and whistles on this
yes.
shit. It ain't going to – putting it straight up. What the hell is she going to do with her straight up? We
you
just said that Ronda could beat
– You can't put bells and whistles on it right now. All it is a straight up match. It's a cold match right now. Shotzi did get – she got choked out in the back, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. This is if you look at it, this is very similar to the story with Liv Morgan. Shayna Baszler choked out Shotzi in the back on Friday. Shotzi and Shayna are having a match next Friday on the Go Home show before we get to Survivor Series. So it's like it's almost like to me. Well, it won't be the Go Home show because it's 2 weeks until we get. Until we get to Survivor Series. But that was like the same thing we saw with Liv Morgan, where Shayna got involved. Liv had the match with Shayna to kind of get you like, all right, maybe Liv does have a chance against Ronda. It seems like they're using the exact same formula for Shotzi
Blackheart.
They ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Yeah.
Because you can't straight up. Bully said this probably about a year ago. How can you believe that this woman is going to beat Ronda Rousey when we feel like Ronda could beat half the men? You mean to tell me that you're going to put a second-tier female wrestler against Ronda Rousey and not one of the elite top women in the game and expect us to sit here and go, oh, this is going to be interesting? No.
It's hard.
It's not going to happen. We're going to be sitting here going to get popcorn and ordering pizza during that match.
You know, Ronda being one of the most successful fighters, period, in the world of USC and being a legitimate badass, hasn't been in an octagon in years. She's been in a pro wrestling ring for the past, what now, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it's been. So I think the WWE looks at it as Ronda is now looked at as a sports entertainer. To me, Ronda Rousey will never be just a sports entertainer. She is a legit, credible fighter who beat a lot of women. Did she lose her last two matches in the octagon? Yes, she did. That doesn't take away from the fact that she is credible, a badass, and can snap any one of your limbs at will if she wanted to. Now, you put Ronda Rousey in there with a Charlotte Flair, okay, I'm buying in. You put Ronda Rousey in there with Becky, okay, I'll buy in. Sasha, okay, I'll buy in. But there are very few women. If you wanted to put her in there with like a Nia Jax, I don't know if Bianca is there yet, but I get what you're saying, Mark. That's just my opinion. If you want to put there with a bigger competitor like a Nia Jax, okay, fine. Shotzi, I'm not buying it. Ronda Rousey should kill Shotzi Blackheart inside of a minute, like she should have done to Liv Morgan. But this is what happens.
It is no disrespect to those women.
No.
It's just the way that is.
Right. It has nothing to do with those women. It has to do with who Ronda Rousey is. Suspension of disbelief. I don't believe that any of these women, and especially like, Dave, you remember me talking about the protection of Ronda Rousey and the protection of Shayna Baszler. This especially happens with Shayna at times. Shayna puts other women in holds that I know that there's no way in hell that they could possibly get out of. And if Shayna wanted to, she could cinch it in a little more. And now we have a broken wrist, a broken elbow, a broken shoulder, a broken ankle, a broken knee, a dislocated hip, a broken back. But miraculously, some of these women are able to get out of these holds. And that's where the believability is destroyed for me. Shayna, credible fighter. Ronda, credible fighter. I like the union of Shayna and Ronda. I think I've been talking about it for a long time on this show, how Ronda needs to get in Shayna's ear and remind her of who she is and was. And I think we're seeing that.
But you look at it at the one end with Ronda Rousey. You also have to look at it the other side, where you build up a credible contender that you can actually kind of believe in. Shotzi Blackheart, or Shotzi now, you know, her last three matches, first of all, those three singles matches, I'm not talking about tag matches or what we saw with the six-pack challenge on Friday. Her last three singles matches, which, by the way, on TV, spans over 3 months, okay? She was on NXT in October where she beat Lash Legend. That's what made me believe that maybe Shotzi was going to be moved to NXT. I think that would actually have helped Shotzi and would have helped the NXT brand. But as far as TV, she lost to Natalya on SmackDown. She lost to Liv Morgan on SmackDown. Like, you're going to have to go back to all the way of since July when Shotzi had a singles match on TV where she actually won. So knowing that and seeing that, why would I be excited to see Shotzi in a match? And this is not just like a throwaway pay-per-view. This is Survivor Series, for crying out loud. This is one of the big four pay-per-views for the WWE. And you're going with somebody who on the main roster hasn't won a singles match on TV since last July.
Okay, so now let me give you the other side of it. Okay, so Dave, you're sitting in on the creative meeting, right?
Yes.
And you just made that point. Okay, Dave, fine. Then who do we put up against Ronda Rousey?
What that, but Bully, then you have
no
to
buts.
Look.
No buts.
No, you have to be a butt.
No,
because
no.
You're not just throwing the question
Holy
at me
shit,
out of nowhere.
Dave, I'm putting you in a situation where you have to come up with a better suggestion. You can't just shit on it. You need a better suggestion.
No, so, Bully, I'm not shitting on
is
it.
Going,
but what is creative? Wait, Bully,
is going to
Bully,
say we
what
have
is
to
creative
give
supposed
me,
to
me,
do?
Me.
Bully, Dave. What is creative supposed... Wait, I'm asking you a question. What is creative supposed to do? They're supposed
creative
to build
supposed to?
Somebody. They're supposed to build someone.
Correct. Okay, so they're gonna tell you, well, we put Shotzi in the six-pack challenge and she won, and we're giving her an opportunity. So if you're saying Shotzi is not the right one, who is the right one and why? At
well,
this point?
Shotzi could be the right one, Bully, if you actually built her up on TV to make her a viable contender for Ronda Rousey. This is the
but,
problem that I have right
they
now.
They didn't. And if not Shotzi, then who?
Well,
who
they haven't built up anybody. They haven't built up Lacey Evans. They haven't built up Liv Morgan. They haven't built up Raquel Rodriguez. They haven't built up Sonya Deville. And they haven't built up Xia Li.
So if they haven't built up anybody across the board, who is your better suggestion?
There isn't a suggestion. It's called do your fucking job and build up a contender to get you to believe in somebody to step into the ring with Ronda Rousey. You can't just throw me a question off the bat over something that I just saw this past Friday.
Sure,
creative's job is to build up a viable contender to get into the ring with Ronda Rousey on a major fucking pay-per-view.
If not
like
Shotzi, then you don't have a
series.
Better idea.
Because you're supposed to build up
a
fucking contender,
suggestion.
Bully. Okay.
You don't have a better suggestion.
All right. Nope. I don't have another suggestion, so just fuck it. Put in Shotzi, and let's have a throwaway match on a major pay-per-view like Survivor Series. There you go. Book
Which
it.
You shouldn't do.
We just booked it. There you go. You booked it.
You don't
good,
have a better
good creative.
You're
good creative.
You're shitting on the idea.
Bully.
All I did was all I
Bully.
Did. Was, you're getting all mad. You're yelling and screaming, and I'm just trying to put you in a pro wrestling setting with creative, because as Mark knows, if you're going to shoot down an idea in wrestling, you're supposed to have a backup idea. You're not just supposed to shoot it down.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry. I thought you're supposed to look at, oh, we got Survivor Series coming up, so let's start building up somebody on TV to face Ronda Rousey at a
so
major pay-per-view like Survivor Series. I'm sorry.
I thought
the whole job I created, I have it all wrong. Let's just throw shit together and play it 2 weeks prior to a major pay-per-view. I'm sorry, Bully. Go right ahead.
That's what's happening.
Yes.
A good suggestion would have been to have a gauntlet match and have Shotzi beat everybody. That would have built her up a little bit more. All I'm
really?
Asking you is
against people.
Oh, look,
against
I just
people
gave you a
have,
good idea.
To have no story behind it, nothing.
But that's what they have to deal with. That's what they have. Those are the cards that have been dealt to them. So you either play the hand that's been dealt or you fold. All I was asking you is, if not Shotzi, then who and why?
Well, I think this goes back to our conversation, Bully, about the problem of the brand split. They decided creatively not to build up a viable contender. Now, what they're going to do is exactly what they did with Liv Morgan. They're going to have her go up against Shayna Baszler on TV next week. She's going to beat Shayna Baszler. The commentators are going to put over Shotzi. Oh, my God, she beat Shayna Baszler. You know, she's a credible athlete, MMA, Ronda's best friend. So maybe she has a shot to beat Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series. It's a two-week story going into a major pay-per-view like Survivor Series against against somebody, like you just said, Bully, that you're supposed to be protecting in Ronda Rousey. This shouldn't be a throwaway match. This should be a major matchup. Like, they put the time into the championship title picture. Why don't they do it with the women's championship
you're
title
getting-
picture?
Bent as if I told you that your suggestion was a bad idea. I'm saying you don't like it. So if not Shotzi, then who? I'm just trying to
bully.
I think it's a shame.
Bully, I think it's a shame that when it comes to this women's title picture, which is Ronda Rousey, which is a mainstream name, that they put this little time and effort into this title picture. They have put extremely little time and effort into this title picture. And that's one of your world championships.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog. Not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
As of today, the Usos are now the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. If my stats are correct, it's 484 days. I'm sure Paul will just look it up to make sure I'm correct. Now, if that is true, as of today, they are the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. If it is 484 days surpassing the New Day, then on Monday Night Raw tonight, and this should have already been promoted after the victory on Friday, we should see the Usos on Monday Night Raw. Now, do they have a match? Do they have a rematch with the New Day? I don't know. But somehow, some way, the Usos should be represented on Monday Night Raw because this is a big deal. This is the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. As of right now, there is no promotion for the Usos to be on Monday Night Raw. So, Bully, to me, that is a major mistake by the WWE.
Mark, you want to say something?
No, I'll go ahead.
It's a three-hour show. We might see them. If it was me, I would have promoted them on the show, the big celebration.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with Sammy, and Usy, celebration, for the Usos. I agree. I would like to see them represented on Raw. I really don't have anything more to give to you than that.
But, and you know, especially since the tag team championships, there's only one. So for me, let's have that celebrated on Monday Night Raw. Again, some kind of continuity between Raw and SmackDown, because I think it's becoming very, very clear that the bloodline is strictly on SmackDown. I know once in a blue moon, we see Roman appear on Raw, but I feel like if you were able to see more of that, Mark, on Mondays, it would make Monday Night Raw that much more exciting.
Dave, I still think that it's really about the networks, that the people at Fox are like, look, we want exclusivity in what happens with Roman Reigns. That's we want Roman Reigns. And you get him every now and then on Raw, but what does he do? Come out with the Usos, point up, and leave. You're going to have to fight to make that show better and to have more star power. You're going to have to, like, build – like, we're talking about this, the Shotzi Blackheart being built up. How about just telling these companies, listen, USA, Fox, we're going to go back to a one-title system. All brands are going to be WWE. There will be no blue or red. We're going to have Monday night and Friday night. And tell them what you're going to do. If they pull out, then you get other sponsors that's willing to do it.
Well, I mean, but Mark, it kind of is that way right now if you think about it. Roman Reigns is your WWE Universal Champion. He has both titles. The Usos right now are both your SmackDown and Raw Tag Team Champions. They are your United Tag Team Unified Champions. So you should be able to do that. You should be able to have the bloodline on both shows, or at least thinking that at some point, Bully, you're going to have them on both shows. And you know what? I mean, I get SmackDown. It's on network TV. It's extremely important. But you do have 3 hours to fill on a Monday night.
They're doing more usage on Friday.
Yes.
I don't think that the WWE is going to just be able to tell Fox. Fox is very specific about what they want, and I think they're a bit more stringent with their requests. I think WWE has a lot more leeway with the USA Network. I don't think that the WWE can put themselves in a position where Fox would just pull out of a deal. We can have this conversation, you know, but it's going to go nowhere. I think all three of us agree the Usos should be on Raw tonight. I think we all agree that there should not be any more of a brand split. I think we should dive into the match and get into what we saw between the Usos and the New Day and where these teams rank in the hierarchy of WWE tag teams.
Yeah, I agree. And Mark, you couldn't have been more complimentary about that match on Friday.
Bro, they started that show right. You start with that. It set the tempo. There was at least three times in that match that I thought it was over. And it's hard to get Bully. I guarantee you, Bully's watched enough tag wrestling that he goes, it's just a hot spot. Or this is just, you know, he knows tag wrestling that intricately. They got me. I was on the edge of my damn seat like I had never watched tag wrestling before. And that's a, like, to be put in suspended belief by talented individuals. Kofi Kingston, 76 years old, and he out there doing pay-per-view dives on TV for free, twisting, whirling dervishes. I'm like, what in the Sam Hill of beans is going on?
The good old whirling dervish.
They had me. The whirling dervish. The triple N day. They did it all, Dave. And that's not just them, but how about the thing about tag team wrestling as a kid that always got me was when a partner saved his partner and he took the brunt of the punishment. Or they ducked something, one pulled another one out the way, and then they did something double to the guy. Man, they did like 6-8 things like that. They pulled it all out. And I just was very complimentary of them because of how hard they worked too. Because they, you know, sometimes guys dial it in. They like, hey man, we gave them enough. It's just TV. Let's save that for when we do the pay-per-view. They didn't save shit.
You know what?
They went out there and they killed it.
But Mark, I think that way of thinking, you almost have to throw it out the window right now because, you know, how many more people are, let's just say Survivor Series, right? We're talking about one of the big four pay-per-views. I think more people are watching SmackDown on a Friday night on network TV than they are watching a major pay-per-view on Peacock for the WWE. I think right now, really? When you look at, listen, by far, SmackDown's the most watched pro wrestling show of the week. You know, they have over 2 million viewers watching SmackDown. I think they want to throw it all out there for a national audience on network TV. And Mark, you said something before the show that I think is worth repeating. You said that you feel like that match on Friday was one of the best matches you've seen so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there with my number one match of the year. Definitely. I mean, in top three, I can't. I'm gonna have to go back and look and look at the matches that I tagged on my computer and see. But I don't know if I've been more entertained.
And you don't
Blood and Guts got me.
Yeah.
Adam Page and Bryan Danielson, an hour long, they got me. Like it ain't been many matches that had me like, holy shit. I was impressed by Paul and Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel. That's gonna be on my list in my top 10, top 5.
Yeah, and it should be.
I just gotta go back and look at all the matches again and see what my year ranking is. But man, that match was fucking superior.
And good. We're only about a month away when we're actually going to be talking about the matches and wrestlers of the year. But Bully,
yeah, the year's about to be over.
Yeah, it's almost over. Now, Bully, this is significant, and I think it's kind of unique because it's very rare, first and foremost, that we're talking about a WWE tag team match as one of the best matches of the year. We don't say that often. I think you would agree that the last decade in the WWE, there hasn't been a spotlight on tag team wrestling. I think that's changed, Bully, right now with a tag team like the Usos.
It's because if you look at the history of tag team wrestling in tag team wrestling in the WWE, they will bring it to the forefront when the right teams are there and clicking and deserve to be at the forefront. The Usos and the New Day have been clicking for a long time now. They're clicking so much that they reached this point on Friday night, the culmination of a tag team run where a discussion can be had based on hard numbers that the Usos and the New Day can be the number one and number two ranked tag teams in the history of the WWE. There's an argument for it. The Usos are the New Day are 11-time champions who had the longest run. Now, one of those championships was because of a flip-flopping of titles. I don't really count that. I don't think it should be counted, but it is what it is. Let's just say that they had 10 tag team championships, okay? 10 puts them at number one in the amount of tag team championships won. But that also means that they lost it 9 times. The Usos are 8-time tag team champions with now the longest run in WWE history. So the Usos have lost the championships less than the New Day and have held those championships longer than the New Day. I think the argument can be made that the Usos are now the most successful tag team in the history of the WWE.
That's pretty significant. And Michael Cole actually said it on Friday. He mentioned about the other greatest tag teams in WWE history. And he mentioned the Hardys, and he mentioned the Dudleys, and he mentioned Demolition, and he mentioned Edge and Christian and the British Bulldogs. And then Wade Barrett went further even and said, he talked about the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and the Von Erichs and the Freebirds.
Can you believe that?
I mean,
I completely disagreed with it, though.
Yes. And
I don't think that the Usos and the New Day are reminiscent of the Fabulous Freebirds or the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express. I felt that that was a stretch. I did feel that comparing the Usos and the New Day to the other great tag teams of the WWE was quite applicable. The other things, personally, I didn't agree.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Free with.
This is Adam Schein, host of the Adam Schein Podcast, here to tell you you can listen to my podcast all year round. I'll give you my NFL picks against the spread, give you fantasy advice all season long, while being joined by the best guests in all of sports. He's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
This is what I expect. You know, I expect to play well every year.
We release episodes of the Adam Schein Podcast every week. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
The Adam Schein Podcast.
I want to go back to the Usos for a second, Dave, and I just want to tell a story or two about what it means to me for the Usos to be in the position that they are now in the world of the WWE. And the argument can be made that they are now the greatest tag team in the history of the WWE, just based on numbers. So check this out. As you guys know, Dave, Mark, we all grew up on the Wild Samoans. The Wild Samoans being one of the first tag teams that I ever saw in my life. The Wild Samoans being a team that made me want to be a tag team wrestler. And then you fast forward from when I'm a child to 1997 to when me and Devon were coming up in ECW, and we were given an award by the Wild Samoans at the Cauliflower Alley Club as the tag team of, I think it was like tag team of the year, tag team of the future. And to be standing up there with Afa and Sika and me, Devon, and Big Dick Dudley holding our Cauliflower Alley plaques, that was a huge achievement and accomplishment for us. And then being in the WWE, Mark, me, you at the same time, Rikishi, and watching Jimmy and Jay play in the ring. Remember them playing in the ring?
I remember.
Running around, I don't know, 8 years old, 10 years old, with their long, long hair, playing in the ring, wrestling in the ring as kids. This is early 2000s. And then we get to 2015 when me and Devon come back to the WWE and being sat down by Vince McMahon when we came back, and he says, I want you to specifically work with the Usos and the New Day. The Dudleys need to get these two teams to the next level. And then getting to work with the Usos at WrestleMania. Now seeing what they have accomplished as a tag team. And oh, by the way, what could be cooler than the Usos' finish and who they borrowed it from? To see, I mean, for me, my timeline with the Samoan family and what the Usos have accomplished and how they've taken the 3D and making it the 1D and have won championship with it. It's amazing to me. If anybody would have told me as an up-and-coming wrestler or as a young kid, here will be your beginning and end when it comes to the Usos and the Samoan family, I would have never believed it. So
you got to feel like a proud papa.
I really do. I'm so happy for them. I'm so proud of them. And the New Day also, because they've achieved a lot of great things. But to me, the Usos are the traditional quintessential tag team. With the New Day, it's been more of any two out of the three guys. So when I'm trying to figure out the Freebird rules, when I'm trying to figure out in my mind who truly is the better team, I got to give it to Jimmy and Jay because they did it on their own. It wasn't like any type of variation of Kofi Xavier and Big E. It's always been about Jimmy and Jay, just like it was always about Bubba and Devon, just the way it was always about Matt and Jeff, Axe and Smash, Ricky and Robert, Brett and Davey, you name it. The Usos get the nod from me as the greatest tag team right now in the history of the WWE.
Wow. And that's saying something, Bully. And I love that you shared that story. So you got to look back at that with pride, because you're talking about 2015. Right after that feud with the Dudleys is when the Usos really took off and started winning championships. And they won that first inaugural SmackDown tag team titles. And it's been nothing but up since that date. They even went back and looked at that date and that year of 2015. It's kind of like that was the starting off point for the Usos really taking off. And I think it has in a big way. And Bully, I got to be honest, I have to agree with you. Like, the New Day has done a lot for tag team wrestling. I think they've done a lot to try to revitalize the tag team division in the WWE. But still, when I look at the New Day, I look at Kofi Kingston and the lead up to WrestleMania 35 when he won the championship against Bryan Danielson. Mark, you and I were at WrestleMania that year together watching that amazing moment. Big E winning world championships. But when it comes to the Usos, it really has been just about the tag team titles. It's not like they're using those tag team titles as a stepping stone in the singles division to give them world championship opportunities. Bully, to your point, it really is just about the tag team titles. And look at now with the Usos holding those titles, how you look at the tag team titles, this whole faction with the Bloodline. Like, this is probably the last time I looked at these tag team titles the way I used to look at it when the Dudleys were holding them or Edge and Christian was holding them. I probably have to go back to that time period to when the tag team titles meant this much in the world of the WWE.
I agree with you. The last true great era of tag team wrestling was the Attitude Era, Hardys, Dudleys, Edge and Christian. But I think the Usos and the New Day have done a fantastic job. I love, as Mark said, they started off the show with these two teams. They showed the importance of the match. The announcers did a phenomenal job of putting credibility on the two teams. They busted their asses. When it came to the false finishes, Mark was saying how he thought, you know, I would be buying in on the false finishes, and I was buying in, but it was how they executed it. When it comes to tag team wrestling, baby faces kick out, heels make saves. When the Usos hit the double super kick on the first, they hit it on Kofi. Then they hit it on Xavier to keep Xavier out of the ring. Then they hit another one on Kofi to set him up for the Uso double splash. 1-2 kick out. That was an amazing false finish. The WWE cameramen and production did a phenomenal job of picking up the expressions on people's faces when Kofi kicked out. And that's what faces do. They kick because they have heart. And then we get the midnight hour from the New Day on one of the Usos. 1-2, and the other Uso had to make the save, because heels have to make saves. Because if that save would not have been made, the New Day would have been our new tag team champions.
Yep.
And he had just been put out on the floor. And I didn't even expect to see. It was fucking masterful.
When they came back from break, didn't see it. And the two teams were tired, and they were breathing heavy, and they were exhausted, and they're staring at each other. And then they just looked at each other with that look in their eyes of like, you're a warrior, we're warriors, screw it, let's just fight. And then they just started throwing, and the people were going crazy. That's the stuff that makes great tag team matches. I enjoyed it. The work that these teams have put in over the years, how they have built themselves up to the levels that they have gotten to. It's for me, it's a pleasure to watch. It's a joy to watch, because as a guy that always wanted to be a tag team wrestler, as a guy who became a successful tag team wrestler, a part of a team that people will talk about for years, I'm hoping that people will be talking about the New Day and the Usos for years to come.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.